Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. We're going to get to a subject that concerns you all, TMJ, clenchers. Those of you who go to bed and start to clench and grind your jaw, that's not you, but it is you, and I'll explain why as the show goes on. This applies to everybody because clenching and the symmetry of the bite, the alignment of the bite, how your teeth touch your other teeth is something that concerns everyone. So I'm going to give you guys the big picture, the little picture, and what to do about it. 1970. Let's go back almost 50 years. 1970, 43 years ago. Nobody even made the connection between, well, honestly, what was usually a female who had nonstop headaches and neck pain that was constantly seeing the chiropractor and the bite. Nobody made the connection between neck pain and the fact that people went to bed at night and clenched. We hadn't made the connection. So you had hordes of people, men and women, going to doctors of all sorts, orthopedic doctors, neurologists, with all these crazy symptoms. Headaches, numbness in the jaw, burning down the arms, fatigue, exhaustion, etc., etc. And they were coming up with zero. Your neurologists were saying, Mrs. So-and-so, it's all in your head. Ladies, you know that statement that turns your belly? I'm sorry, but there's nothing wrong with you. But, doctor, I'm in pain. Mrs. Smith, I think this is psychosomatic. As if to say your pain is just in your imagination. In 1970, we hadn't put it together yet. There was a dentist. His name was Dr. Gelb, Harold Gelb. Anybody in the TMJ, temporomandibular syndrome, temporomandibular joint syndrome, those of you who clench, dentists who make these guards for that, guards, plastic pieces you can put in your mouth, you can buy them at Thrifties. We went from not even understanding any of this all the way you can buy night guards at Thrifties today. So it's 1968, 1970, and Harold Gelb is about the first dentist in the United States to coin the phrase TMJ syndrome. Oddly enough, my beloved mother was one of those women in New York City that used to get on the train and go to see Dr. Gelb. This is 1970. I'm a little boy, and I'm accompanying mom to some crazy dentist that my father thought was crazy, as men tend to do, to help my mother do something in her mouth that has to do with these headaches that she can't get rid of. First of all, ladies, how many of you have been told you clench and you grind? How many of you have chipped your teeth or cracked your teeth because you clench and grind? But has anybody told you that the root of that is in your psyche? Clenching the teeth comes from internalizing emotion 95% of the time. Now, certainly the dentists back then, Harold Gelb included, weren't telling people that because honestly they didn't know it. But they did know that all these apparently unrelated symptoms, from headaches to neck pain to jaw pain to arm pain to numbness in the fingers to numbness in the jaw to extreme fatigue, they did know that it was related to someone that clenched. That's why dentists today are constantly handing out that suspicion based upon the wear pattern of the teeth that you're clenching and or grinding. And I've seen people, maybe you have too, maybe you're one of those people. I've seen people literally clench and grind their teeth to nothing, to little studs. I've seen people have to put on crowns because of 10, 20, 30 years of nonstop clenching. You think it's a problem of the mouth. I'm here to tell you today it's a problem of the systemic body. The effect of clenching goes rampant in the body, and I'm going to explain why. So before the show is over today, you're going to have a new insight into what goes on with the symmetry of the bite and the pumping, or its effect on the high neural centers of the brain, specifically the hypothalamus and pituitary. Now, as always, I've got pictures. We're doing this more and more. I want to make this show more and more interactive, so I beg of you to get on your computers. Stream the show. Do it. It's so easy to do. Get into the radio literature section and look at the pictures that are up. And I've got a whole host of them there today that's actually going to allow you to see the TMJ joint. In other words, to look at the muscles of the jaw, to look at the joint. Person in this week talking about ear pain, bad ear pain, shooting pain into the brain. And we open the mouth, and what do we see? On the same upper left quadrant of the mouth, of the oral cavity, she's missing two or three teeth. And when you're missing teeth and you bite asymmetrically. And that's going to jam up the left side of the coronoid process. If you look at the TMJ joint, if you stick your finger right in front of the hole of your ear, right in front of it, just towards your nose, open your mouth. I want you all to do this, just like Jack LaLanne used to do it on TV. I want you all to do this. Take your finger, open your mouth, and stick your finger just in front of your ear, the little nip of the ear. Put your finger right in front of it, towards the nose. And as you open and close the jaw, a hole is going to open up in that space. When you close the jaw, the hole's going to close. When you open the jaw, the hole's going to open. That space is inhabited by the end of the jawbone, what we call the coronoid process of the jawbone, of the mandible, technically speaking, the mandible, your jawbone, what people augment to make bigger when they don't have one, what your lower teeth fit into. That's the jawbone. That's the mandible. At the end of the mandible is something that looks like your thumb. It's just a little peninsula. And as that little peninsula moves down and forward as you open your jaw, a hole opens up. Find that hole. Everybody take a few minutes here to find the hole. Saturday morning, you could be out there running. You're looking for holes beyond holes. Find that hole, open and close the jaw. As you open it, that little tip on the mandible, hopefully you're looking at it on the picture. If you're not, just use your imagination. You don't have to have a computer. It's just preferable. The point is, that little tip, if you're clenching all night long, isn't it common sense? That tip is going to get jammed into that space right in front of your ear canal. So there you have it. How about ringing in the ear? Ringing in the ear. Tinnitus. That whining, screeching sound that never goes away, that drives you crazy. If you clench, there's your answer. You're driving that little peninsula, the coronoid process, the end of the jawbone that fits up in front of the ear canal. You're driving it into the ear. You're going to make your ears ring if you clench. If you're wearing down your teeth because you're clenching, can you imagine what you're doing to your ear? This is common sense. This isn't complicated. All you got to do is look at the pictures and use your brain. This goes missed so often. So often, nobody's telling you you're clenching. You know why? Clenching is intimate. It is. You know why it's intimate? Because when you're clenching, you're working out your problems in your subconscious. If we could go inside your brain while you're clenching and grinding away at night, you're working out your issues about your boss, about your loved ones, about your kids, about your husband or wife, about your neighbor, about that situation that you need to fix, that thing you never told anybody about, that personal issue you've got to straighten out that you've never said to anybody that you just got to get out. Or you did get it out, but it didn't come out right. You clenchers out there. My mom was a clencher. She died of metastatic breast cancer at 67. So I want you to bend your mind on this. Here's a healthy woman. My grandparents all lived into their mid-90s. Every one of them. Four little pit bulls. All four of them from southern Italy lived until their mid-90s. And my mother died at 67. She died at 67 of metastatic breast cancer. That's breast cancer that metastasized to the bone, and it hit all her bones rapidly, like a forest fire. And of course, she only got the best, Sloan Kettering of New York City. They had their eye on that little lump for years, and they assured her that it was benign. It was just a cyst. So much for that. So much for mammograms. Here's the point. My mother didn't die of breast cancer, and I've said this so often to so many people. My mother died of TMJ. Now, this show is about that people die from clenching their teeth. They get sick in their organs from clenching their teeth. I'm making that claim. And I'm backing it up with tons of inquiry, tons of stuff in the literature. Dentists aren't going to make that claim. Orthodontists aren't going to make that claim. Later on, I'm going to introduce a couple of fantastic orthodontists, people I've used for 10, 15 years. I'm going to go heavy dental over the next 2 months on this show. I'll be bringing on a couple of outstanding practitioners to give them the top questions about what they do in dentistry, perhaps in orthodontistry. They don't make these claims that the bite is related to the kind of health I'm talking about, but I can make this claim and back it up with literature. Because the future of medicine, and that's the medicine you're interested in, not the medicine of 100 years ago, but the future of medicine will show that you can get very sick from clenching. I don't mean just in the teeth. Let's talk about the perfect bite. Let's talk about the perfect health mechanism when you're fortunate enough not to clench your teeth. Very simple. You open the mouth and you see all the teeth there. That's a really good place to start. If you're missing one or two, that's kind of okay. If you don't have any decay, if your teeth aren't dead, if the nerve roots are alive, you've got a pretty good mouth. No gum disease. If you've got gum disease, if you've got tons of plaque, lady in the office last week, I mean, cakes of plaque, serious health concerns, cakes of plaque, I mean, thick. Sent it to my hygienist over in Santa Monica, all the way from Orange County to Santa Monica, to hit the ultrasound and knock that plaque right off the deep roots of the teeth. You can't have a lot of plaque. Yes, yes, increase your HCL if you've got a lot of plaque. But get rid of that plaque no matter how you do it. So you open that mouth and the teeth are all there, and there's not a lot of plaque. And there's no decay. Hopefully there's less crowns than more crowns. Hopefully there's less root canals than more root canals. Hopefully there's less extractions than more extractions. Here's the point. When you bite, you have to see the upper quadrant of teeth touch the lower quadrant. Every tooth has to touch its counterpart. The upper tooth has a matching tooth down low. The lower tooth has a matching tooth up above. And all these teeth have to touch. Now, we've all had some relationship with this. When you go to the dentist after they put a crown on or pull a tooth or do something major, even fill a cavity, they put that little paper in there. And they make sure that you can grip the paper to see if every tooth is touching the tooth. Dentists know you have to have each tooth contacting the other tooth. Now, we're not going to make a claim to your health about what happens when that doesn't happen. You see, that's when we draw the line. We can't make that claim. I'm going to make that claim. I'm allowed to do that because that's the future. And this is about the future. Now, once those teeth have proprioception between each tooth, then we have to have symmetry. Symmetry means they have to come down, even if they are touching, at the same amount of pressure. Even if all the teeth are touching, you can't have one side exerting a lot more pressure than the other side. And that has to be assessed. And that's a whole issue, from dentistry to cranial osteopathy. In cranial osteopathy, you keep in mind, in cranial osteopathy, the osteopaths, Andrew Still, 1900, the osteopaths understand the relationship between the teeth and the cranial bones and the cranial rhythms. Now, I talk about this all the time on the shows. I'll take a moment to just remind you. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. If you're new to the show, get on that website, straighttalk.cc, straighttalk.cc. Look at the pictures. View the archives. Get on the archives and review. I talk about the cranial rhythms all the time. The point being, if those teeth don't have symmetrical pressure, you have problems. There has to be the same pressure. And if you feel like you have to clench harder on one side, we've got problems. I'll give you an example. A person has the left upper quadrant. So the mouth is divided into the upper quadrant, which is the upper teeth, and the lower quadrant, the lower teeth. The left side gives you the left upper quadrant. The left side gives you the left lower quadrant. Same on the right. Simple. Let's just say you have a lot of dental work on the left upper quadrant, and the dentist puts crowns in, and he doesn't take the time, because he's not like the kind of dentists I use. He doesn't take the time to make sure those crowns leave you with a perfect bite. Or some doctor puts in a bridge, and the bridge is weak, or the bridge is worn. Or the dentist doesn't want to go in and fix that bridge or tell you the bad news. You have decay into the bridge, or you're missing a tooth or two, and you don't want an implant, so you put a little flipper in. But the flipper doesn't allow you to chew on the flipper, so you don't even chew on that side. And we can come up with 100 scenarios like this. Each one of those scenarios amounts to the same thing. When you bite down on that left upper quadrant, when you chew food, when you clench at night, you're going to have to clench more intensely on one side than the other. That's an asymmetrical bite. Now, if you're clenching at night, now you have an asymmetrical clench. When you're clenching asymmetrically, usually you're grinding. Now we have a grind, the difference between a grind and a clench. A clench is an up and down phenomenon. A grind is perpendicular or a cross. It's a shear force. It's a shearing force. Like if you take your hands and you rub them side to side, that's a shear. A clench is if you take your two hands and you bring them together. You put your hands in prayer position and you press one hand against the other. That's a clench. If in fact you clench at night, that's one thing. But if your bite is asymmetrical, so you got to put on the thinking cap a little here. If the clench is asymmetrical, rather, if the bite is asymmetrical, and you clench unevenly, so it causes you to grind. So clench and grind, you wear down your teeth. Clench and grind, you're more likely to crack your teeth. So when we want to talk about the perfect bite, the bite that doesn't exist too often, there's no cavities, there's no crowns, there's no tooth decay, the gums are pink and rosy, you can smack them hard, those gums, they don't bleed. You're not grinding, you're not clenching. Each tooth is touching the other tooth, and each tooth is touching the other tooth equally, with equal force. The force isn't distributed to one side or the other. Dynamite. If you've got that going. Now remember, I'm painting a scenario here because at the conclusion of the scenario, other than giving you solutions, at the conclusion of this scenario, you're going to understand why I can make that statement. That to clench and grind can be deadly. So we've got the perfect bite, and we've got the perfect non-clenching, symmetrical situation. When you do that correctly, a vector of force, meaning a line of force, goes from your upper jaw, which are the maxillary bones, the maxilla, up into the ethmoid bone. If you put your fingers right now, second place to put your fingers, take your hand, put out your finger, and put your finger between your eyebrows. Remember this, about 2 inches backwards from where you just put your finger is the pituitary gland. So remember that. But that bone that you touch on the forehead, if you go into that bone just a couple of millimeters, you're going to be in the ethmoid bone, ethmoid. And when you bite correctly, you send a vector, a line of force, through the lower teeth, the mandible, to the upper teeth, which is the maxilla, into the ethmoid bone, into the sphenoid bone. The sphenoid bone. If you can see picture number 4 in the literature section, the pituitary gland in this picture number 4 is situating right in the sphenoid bone. It's encased in the sphenoid bone. If you're not, if you don't have a computer, just understand that from the maxilla to the ethmoid to the sphenoid bone, in the sphenoid bone, deep in your brain, in the base of the skull, is this pituitary gland, which is real close to another gland called the hypothalamus, which is real close to another gland called the pineal gland. And the pituitary and hypothalamus and pineal vibrate in the sphenoid bone, which is vibrated by the ethmoid bone, which is vibrated by the maxilla, which is vibrated by the mandible. And they want the right kind of vibration. They don't want you clenching all night. They don't want you clenching asymmetrically. They don't want you chewing asymmetrically. They don't want you talking asymmetrically. They don't want the muscles around the neck to be tense because you're clenching at night and chewing asymmetrically. Or clenching at night asymmetrically. They want everything perfect just like I described it. And if they get it perfect, then that sphenoid bone vibrates. And that vibration into the hypothalamus and pituitary gland. And you can see in the literature section all these great pictures, detailed images of hypothalamus and pituitary. And if you don't have that, you put your finger between your eyes and you just go back in your mind about a couple of inches. And you're right in that sphenoid bone, right in that hypothalamus pituitary area. People that use the term the third eye, right? You've heard that somewhere, some lofty esoteric jargon. The third eye, the eye, all-seeing eye, right between the other two eyes. They're making reference to the pituitary gland, the inner intelligence of the brain based upon the inner intelligence, your intuitive faculty, what sees inside your body. The all-knowing. The high center of the brain is hypothalamus, pituitary, pineal. So even in folklore, in jargon, in esoteric language, we talk about the third eye. Let's forget all that and just understand it all begins in the hypothalamus and pituitary. It is where your health lives. Hypothalamus and pituitary see, they look for every reaction, every chemical reaction in your body. They organize it. They send out electrochemical sensors. They receive quadrillions amount of information electrochemically. There's a cancer cell when it's one cell big. A message goes out from the hypothalamus into the pituitary, into your immune system to kill that cancer cell. We know that. That's in medicine. Your concept of immunity, that which fights off infectious disease, it's organized up there. If you've got an organ that's been beaten, that's down, that needs repair, that needs more nutrient than the rest of the organs, those directions are given from the hypothalamus and the pituitary. In neuroanatomy, when you study it, dissection of the brain and what does what, one of the edges, I mean, the whole brain is a frontier, but whatever's going on in the hypothalamus and the pituitary is legion for, we don't know, and we're interested, and we don't know. If you're looking at the website right now, I've got a colored image of the hypothalamus and pituitary. It's picture number 3. It's detailed image of hypothalamus and pituitary gland. All those different colors are nuclei. And if you're not at a computer, deep in that brain there, 2 inches behind that point you touched between your eyes, is this hypothalamus and pituitary, which is cut into many, many, many centers within itself. There are many sections of it. It is the central junction box of life. Now, here's the point. If you clench at night, there's no vibration into that. If you clench at night, that center of the brain cannot send its very precise, very light speed directions to the quintillion amount of transactions occurring. If you took all the banks of the world, bank, like money bank, and you added up all the transactions in all the world over the last 10,000 years of transaction, and multiplied it by 10,000, and multiplied that by 10,000, you wouldn't even touch the amount of equations chemically that are occurring each second in the human body. And whatever's going on up there in hypothalamus and pituitary has a finger in every single one of them. That is fascinating. If I had an area to study, if I had the time, it would be in the neuroanatomy. Because whatever's going on there is the whole seed of life, the boundary between the energetic body and the material body is found up in those 3 glands. This is big. It's really big. It is the future of medicine. In Germany, and we all know the Germans tend to be ahead of the game. No arguing the fact that they developed holistic medicine, not America. German biological medicine was the original translation from all this medicine that we're interested in here in the United States. They brought science to esoteric medicine. And it's only esoteric because we don't have the machines to measure it with precision. So some of these statements I'm making, well, why didn't you hear about them? Well, we're kind of dense in America. We got to see it with the machine. Right? Cigarettes, for instance. We had to see the studies. We just couldn't use our common sense. There was something about cigarettes that was dangerous. Well, until study and study and study proved it. After how many thousands just died, now we know, don't smoke cigarettes. It's a danger to your health. Jack LaLanne was talking about that in the 30s. Why couldn't the rest of America see that? And this is my point. You're listening to statements I'm making today about how the high centers of the brain control the chemistry of the body. This is already in the literature. The Germans are way ahead of us on this. So this is not left field. Of course, because of scope of practice, no dentist, no orthodontist is ever going to mention this. And they don't need to. You just need to get educated. The public always changes things. Not the professions, the public. You're the public. There you have it. The perfect bite. Stimulating the hypothalamic and pituitary centers. Sending electrical and chemical impulses to get the job done throughout the body 24/7. On top of which, that bite also stimulates the ventricular system of the brain. The ventricular system. The brain has ventricles. Now, we all know the ventricles of the heart. We all know the ventricles of the heart. They pump. Well, the brain's got ventricles, too. I put pictures there. Ventricles of the brain. And those ventricles pump cerebral spinal fluid, the milk of the brain. The leche of the brain is called cerebral spinal fluid. When you get a dural tap and you have headaches, and I've said this on the shows before, we take out some of that fluid because we want to see if it's infected. When we do a dural tap, we get a syringe, we go in there, hopefully we have someone that knows what they're doing, because if you don't have the skill to go in through the dural tissue into the cerebral spinal fluid, you're going to give someone a lot of pain for a long time. But even when it's done perfectly, you're going to have a bad headache the next day and maybe the day after that, because you've got to make more cerebral spinal fluid. If you take 3 or 4 cc's, cubic centimeters, of spinal fluid out, made by the ventricular system of the brain, ventricles being pumped in part by the bite. You take out that cerebral spinal fluid and the brain floats in it, well, then the brain no longer floats. If you look at that picture there, picture number 5, talks about the flow of cerebral spinal fluid. If you take that fluid out, the brain just sinks. The brain is floating in the case of the bony brain, the bony skull. The brain is floating in the case of the bony skull. Yeah, you got to piece this together. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. Get to the website. Get to the archives so you can hear the show again. Get to the school. Tomorrow, I have my class here down at my beautiful office in Costa Mesa. This class has been with me for 18 months. Wow. It's like family at this point. And we're running 2 other classes concurrently. Big return on this. The most significant thing I've done as a doctor is teach people from the public in groups. Call the hotline there. That's 949-873-2127, 949-873-2127. Speak to Jeevashwari. She's my office manager. Sign up for the school. Come for the June 9th class. That's the one that's the lead right now. Turn this stuff into reality for you. You just got to connect the dots. That's where health is. It's connecting the dots. Cerebral spinal fluid of the brain. It's flowing because the ventricles of the brain are pumping. The ventricles of the brain are pumping because the bite is symmetrical. Because all the teeth touch. What happens when you lose all your teeth and there's no teeth to touch? There's no cerebral spinal fluid to flow with that integrity. So bite's important. So that cerebral spinal fluid is flowing all the way down the spine and up into the brain. In between each brain cell, that fluid flows. The lymph of the brain, the lymphatic system of the brain, is the cerebral spinal fluid. So here's the person that doesn't clench. Here's the person that doesn't have an asymmetrical bite, sending force vectors to the maxilla, to the ethmoid, to the sphenoid, pumping the pituitary, pumping the ventricles, sending the cerebral spinal fluid up and down, cleaning each cell of the brain, priming that hypothalamus to see every single transaction in the body all the time, 24/7 at light speed. Light speeding directions and orders to cells that need their help is the pituitary and hypothalamus, receiving information from all parts of the galaxy of the body back into the hypothalamus and pituitary. The whole central intelligence, the CIA of your brain, is right there being codified and kept sacred and kept primed, highly intelligent, cleaned by the bite. Now, there's the statement. There's the reality. There's the pictures. Here's the show. What do you do when you clench? I hope you do something better than my beautiful mother succeeded at. Because she couldn't figure it out. Lots of women internalize their emotions. They still do it today. Probably less today. I think less today. I don't know. It's not the point. The point is, whether you're female or male, and you're internalizing and you're clenching, you shut this down. Don't. Now, what do you do about it? What do you do? Well, that's a big issue, and that's a little issue, and it's not a dental issue. And yet, one of the great solutions this century was taken on by the dentists, because the first outward sign of a clencher is it messes up the teeth. And a dentist, Gelb, was one of the first ones to make a connection between somebody's headache, jaw pain, ear pain, numbness of the jaw, pain down the arm, and every other blessed symptom that can occur. So dentistry jumped on this, understandably. How do you stop your psyche from causing you to clench at night? Big issue, not going to get into it tremendously right now, because I want to get into the dental solution. There is a dental solution to this, and I'm going to talk about that in a moment. But let's just take a few minutes here to take a look at the psyche and the internalization pattern and this fear that's rational and irrational, that you can't tell somebody what you're thinking. Well, it starts when we're little, and for a multitude of reasons, when we're little and we open our mouth, we just might find out that the world doesn't agree with us. And in motherhood, last show, last week on motherhood, hope you enjoyed that. When mothers teach their kids that the world is not just a bowl of cherries, that there is a thing called discipline, that there are lines to be drawn, that you can't walk into your neighbor's living room when you're potty trained, supposedly, and take a pee-pee on the floor. You can't do that. You learn all these little lessons. Hopefully you learn them gently. When you're in nursery school and you want the toy that your friend is playing with, you can't take that toy. You can't punch him in the nose and take that toy. You can't bully people. You can't. And when you're little, if you've got a strong will, you want to, but you can't. And you got to learn these boundaries. If you don't learn them correctly, you might learn that every time you want something, you're not allowed to say you want it, because you're told you can't open your mouth. In fact, if you're told to shut your mouth, if you're told that there's consequences for telling people your opinion or doing things, well, then you might grow up gun-shy. When it's appropriate to open your mouth, when it's appropriate to make an aggressive move, you may have decided that aggression is not proper. That even what others call appropriate aggression, addressing a situation appropriately where you have to speak out, it paralyzes you. It makes you afraid. It makes you sick. The thought of it is like death, because it's going to replay that moment when you're little, 2 years old, 3 years old, five, seven. It's going to replay that moment when you were told or you felt the consequences of asserting yourself. You may have been physically beaten. You may have been verbally criticized. You may have gotten both. You may have gotten both consistently. So by the time you're 10 years old, just before puberty, you've been taught, disappear, keep your mouth closed, because to assert yourself is dangerous. That is you. That's a percentage of you. It's a percentage of all of us. But if it's so much an issue, you're going to clench at night. Done. That's why you listen to this show, because it's tough to say that to people across your desk. They usually sit there. They get real silent. They look at the floor, and then they look up at you, and they're glaring. They're staring. You don't know what they're going to do. They might clench a fist and take a pop at your jaw. They might walk out. They might start to cry. They may have a seizure. You don't know what people are going to do when you tell them the bottom line. So take advantage of this. If you clench, if you know people that clench, if your dentist tells you that you clench, take it seriously. Because it's sort of something that can depress your energy field. And depressing the field can get the cell sick. Take that to the bank. And if you're that way, understand what nobody wants to tell you. A lot of times it's because you're internalizing emotions about issues that you got to find a way to get out. Get help. Get counsel. Read books. It's everywhere. This is America. It's 2013. It's not the Middle Ages in Europe somewhere. It's 2013. It's the new millennium. So you can get it out, and you can find ways. Get someone that knows what to do with their hands on your jaw. Chiropractors, cranial workers, all sorts of massage therapists, dentists, cranial osteopaths. Lots of people get up there into those muscles to release those muscles of the jaw. Lots of people get up there to release those muscles. Enough said about the psychological angle on that. Just understand that if you clench those muscles, picture number one, TMJ joint and jaw muscles. You've got the masseter. You've got the temporalis muscle. You've got the internal pterygoid. You've got the external pterygoid, also known as the medial and lateral pterygoid muscles. When they spasm, you're going to have pain. That spasm can reflex from clenching all night long. That spasm can reflex anywhere it wants. It can make your ears ring. It can give you an ear infection. It can make you more susceptible to a virus. It can break your teeth. It can give you headaches. That's the light stuff. It can and does shut off your hypothalamic intelligence. So you see, if you walk in and you say, I've got ulcerative colitis and they're going to cut my large intestine out and the herbs don't work, I'm taking herbs to help my bowels, to help heal connective tissue, and I've got this thing called colitis, and I heard I needed to take herbs for it, and I went to somebody and I got the herbs for it and they just don't work. I've got this problem in the liver. My liver is all infected and it's all hot and red and my liver enzymes are up and there's fibrosis in the liver and I've got a fatty liver. I've got heart problems. I've got plaque in my arteries. My arteries are falling apart. I'm getting too much tooth decay. My joints are killing me. I've got rheumatoid arthritis. Any one of all of these symptoms, and I've done all the different herbs and holistic solutions and I'm under allopathic care and that's not working too much. Nothing seems to work for me. If you clench, you got to take a look at that. That's what I mean. I'll bring you to where the rubber meets the road. This is where the rubber meets the road. You spend money trying to help yourself, and because you're clenching, your brain doesn't know what to do with the nutrition. That's really a big, big statement. Take that one deep. Now, aside from the psychological causes, aside from the psychological causes of clenching, and aside from things that body workers, massage therapists, cranial osteopaths can begin to address, releasing those muscles, when you start having symptoms, you can have practitioners go into those muscles and release them, even inside your mouth. One thing you have to learn is the stretch, the jaw stretch. So I'm going to make another claim here. We're all like dogs. We are all like dogs. We should be like dogs. We should be like cats. We should be in communion with nature. And I want to call your attention, ladies and gentlemen, to a phenomenon observed by none other than your household pet. The 10 or 15 or 20 times a day, it yawns. It yawns. Oh, that's cute. It yawns. Oh, excuse me, I have to yawn. I'm going to open my mouth in front of you at the dinner table, and it means I'm tired, and that means you're boring. So excuse me, I need to yawn. Animals don't apologize for the yawn. We think it's cute when animals yawn. We don't think it's cute when adults yawn. We're not animals. We're humans. We have nothing to do with them. We're different. Bingo, you made a boo-boo. You know the theme in this show. Follow nature. Why does your dog yawn 10 or 15 times a day? Follow your dog around. Take a day off from work. We ought to have dog day every year in America. That's the day you take off from work with the explicit intention of doing none other than following your animals and charting down all the things they do. You do this anyway. Everybody knows this routine. We've all watched our animals. Why do they yawn? They yawn because they're opening up their mandibular joint. A dog and a cat, they're resetting their cranial rhythms when they yawn. How many people come in and tell me they've got pain in the neck, in the jaw, they've got TMJ, they've got problems? Nobody ever shows them how to stretch. A yawn in any animal language is a stretch. Animals do yoga. Now, there's a statement I haven't made yet in 3 years. Animals do yoga. They do. Did you ever see your cat stick its hand, stick its leg behind its head, and lick its entire body? Lick the tail, lick the leg, just keep licking with the leg behind the head, and then it does the other leg. It's got a whole system. You should take a day off from work and sit down with your cat in the morning. Forget work. Just do the same poses the cat does and do them until you can lick every part of your body like your cat. Now, there's a show. No show in America would tell you to do that. Cats do yoga. Dogs do yoga. People should do that kind of yoga. What's the point? When dogs yawn, when cats yawn, they're pulling that joint open. Look at that literature section. Look at that TMJ joint. Between the coronoid process of the mandible and the temporal fossa of the temporal bone, just in front of the ear, is an intersection that we call the joint. If you don't have the show on computer, just stick your fingers into that hole in front of the ear and open and close it. Right in that spot is the joint. You've got to be able to open the mouth wide and wider and wider until you stretch the joint. The left side of that joint, the right side of that joint, until it burns a little. Wait a minute, stretching a body part until it burns. Where have I done that before? Stretch class, yoga class, Pilates class, dance class, athletic class, martial arts class. Concept. Apply that. You guys know this. You understand this. You've just never applied it to your joint in the jaw. You have to stretch that TMJ joint the same way you stretch your hamstring. Now you got it. If you can finesse that stretch on each side of the jaw, I just did it myself. I'm going to do it again. I've been talking for 50 straight minutes, and I just stretched the left and right side of my joint. It felt good. It didn't burn. It didn't hurt because the jaw's loose. I have to keep myself on radio loose all the time. By the way, this little cough of mine that some of you have heard, I can't accommodate the air down here. The office is off the freeway, which makes it convenient for you, but the air down here, I can't do it yet. Got to figure it out, just so you know. Point. Stretch that jaw. Go into the joint. Make it burn a little bit, like it does in the hamstring or behind the knee or the calf. Work that joint. How do you know you're doing it? When your bite changes position. Oh boy, what a show. When your bite changes position. When the way your teeth touch changes because you stretched your jaw, you're doing dog yoga. Coined it today. Coined it today. Dog yoga. Do dog yoga. When your bite shifts because you stretched open and into that joint through the burn, so that your teeth touch differently. They touch better. Do it. Get on the website and tell me if you could do it. I know you're busy. You can't get to the website. Get to the website. Comment. Tell me if you can shift your bite. First person that does that, send you free bottle of Carl Legend, AloPro, and vitamin D. There's the deal. The Quantum Trio for free. I want the first person to comment. But tell me the truth. I want to know if you can shift your alignment by stretching deep into the jaw. If you've got that figured out, you did much. We're going to do a second part to the show eventually. Now, here's the thing. If you've mastered dog yoga and you can stretch out that joint, if your nasal cavity is non-obstructed, if you're consuming all this but you're still clenching, the dentists have come to the rescue. Get on Google, go on YouTube, look at the name James. James P. as in Paul Boyd, B-O-Y-D. Good Morning America. James Boyd is a famous dentist. A number of years ago, he developed a solution. It's like a little night guard, only it's a little piece of plastic that goes on the front teeth and a little more. It's called an NTI, Nancy Thomas Igloo. Nociceptive Trigeminal Interceptor. It's called an NTI. He won awards for this. He was famous for it. See Dr. James P. as in Paul Boyd on Good Morning America. Look it up on YouTube. It's a little piece of plastic that goes into the front teeth and a little beyond that. And the concept is, if you clench the mouth, the front teeth touch. And when they touch, it signals the brain to open the bite before you clench. Because when you clench, you'd break your teeth if, when the front teeth touched, you didn't open your mouth. The signal when you clench that the brain looks for, so you open your mouth even when you clench, is when the front teeth touch. If you could make the front teeth touch first, you could break your clench pattern. Brilliant. NTI, Nociceptive Trigeminal Interceptor. It works. It's about $600 or so. I see dentists make all of these things. A lot of them do it wrong. Yes, it's not that simple. You have to be a licensed dentist. You have to know what you're doing. For 12 years, I've used two orthodontists to make these things, Dr. Moon and Dr. McGinnis. They're in Fullerton. 714-253-5333. 714-253-5333. Outstanding orthodontists. I've sent at least 120 people to them over the last 10 years. Never talked about them on the show, but I'll be doing that fairly occasionally, fairly consistently. Might even bring one of them on fairly soon. Going to do another show fairly soon with Dr. Aguilara. Wonderful, wonderful dentist and friend and colleague that I've used for 15 years now. Want to get into the dentistry real deep, but Dr. McGinnis, I want to talk about particularly. All right. He is working with Dr. Moon, has been for quite a while. He was handpicked by Dr. Moon. He's got an outstanding scholarship and I think a wonderful passion for orthodontics. He makes NTIs. What he doesn't know, Dr. Moon knows, and back and forth. And I've used these guys for a long time now. The NTI is worth an investigation. It can stop a clenching pattern. Now, we never make claims, but clenching is not good. Just from a pure orthodontic standpoint, you don't want to be cracking your teeth at night. It can lead to all sorts of recession of gum. It can lead to cracked teeth. There's no end to the damage to the mouth from clenching. I've seen this work, in my estimation, about 60, 70% of the time. Sometimes people bite right through the NTI and it doesn't work. 714-253-5333. That's Moon and McGinnis. They're in Fullerton. That's Northern Orange County. If you've got someone local to you that does this, if you want my 2 cents, go down there. And I'm going to be saying the same thing for Dr. Aguilar. I've put particularly Dr. Moon through the trenches over the years referring people to him and his practice. I've never seen these guys make mistakes. I think they're absolutely outstanding. And if you're a clincher and you can't get to the issues underneath, or it's going to take time. It may take you a few years to get to the deep psychic causes. You're not going to just walk in and resolve the emotional stuff overnight, but you got to stop the clenching. We've got a solution. That's the NTI. I think it's the best thing. These full guards, okay, they don't stop the clenching. They stop the what? Grinding. Don't go to Thrifty's and just put one of these plastic pieces in your mouth. I don't know about that one. I'm very skeptical about that one. I also, if you're making these full plastic pieces that go into the whole mouth to stop the grinding, it's understandable, but you're not stopping the clenching. Oh, yes, I do this. I have a night guard. That's not what I'm talking about. An NTI is not a night guard. An NTI may well stop the clenching. If you want a good prep on this, get to the Google, get to the YouTube. Dr. James P. as in Paul Boyd. He's not practicing anymore. That's my understanding. So what I did, because Boyd himself, you know, he's doing other things now, probably semi-retired from what I understand. I've got a better solution in Fullerton. So we've got you covered, which is why I can't understand why so many people clench and they do nothing about it. So many people, when we test people, when we do nutritional analysis and we muscle test and we test in other various ways, we can't even get a printout from the human body. The messages that the doctors look for, we can't even get because of clenching. They just told me, I'm out of time. Dr. Vincent Medici, call the office, make an appointment if you need one, get to the website, call to the school, 949-873-2127. We will see you next week.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.